You're listening to Sports Overnight Weekend.
It's time now for the Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or at WBOboxing.com. Take it away, Taco Man.
Bottom line is, we're not talking boxing right now. We're talking USC. USC 202, of course, in the, in Las Vegas. It's ripping and rolling for five rounds. Talk about Nate Diaz, of course, winner of the first fight with Conor McGregor, a second-round submission winner. Of course, that was a bit of a stunner, a bit of a surprise tonight. McGregor was a slight favorite going into this rematch. Of course, McGregor, a plus 132 favorite, and Mr. Diaz was a minus 112. So, in other words, you bet $100 on Diaz, you got back $112. If you bet $132 on Conor McGregor, you got back $232. So, the bottom line is very close odds, but in the end, McGregor was favored. Now, we go to my man, Zach Attack Young. Zach, any controversy in that majority decision in your mind?
No, I mean, you know, I think he did enough to win, you know. It was a close fight, and it was an amazing fight. I mean, the first one was really good, too, but this is a five-round fight, so this is better than the first fight. And I don't know. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if they do a rubber match. I don't think that the UFC would be eager to do that, but then again, when a fight is this good, they might just do it.
I just saw a headline. The UFC did great numbers tonight. They want to do it again to talk about a third fight at 155. McGregor says he'd fight him at 155 the third time around. And, you know, if I looked at Nate Diaz tonight, he looked like he carried a little bit too much weight into this fight. Do you think that maybe that idea of like stripping down from 202 3 weeks before the fight was a bad idea?
Yeah, you know, that might have played a role because he did look a bit lethargic, didn't he? He didn't look like he had quite the same explosiveness.
Wasn't snapping.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. And, I mean, McGregor, I think I thought that he'd come in more prepared because you have to think it wasn't his optimal weight class last time either. So,
But Zach, he was ready to go. And listen, you got to give Conor McGregor some props here. I didn't like his post-fight interview. Too many MFs in it. But you got to give him some credit because after the second round, he was done. You can stick a fork in him. I said, Nate Diaz, if he looks back on this fight, it was his inability to finish Conor McGregor at that point in time, which cost him the fight.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, Conor McGregor showed heart, which this is the first time in his UFC career that he's really had to show it. And he made it five rounds and won a decision, you know, and he busted Nate Diaz up. So he deserves a lot of credit for that. He really didn't need to take this rematch, but
oh, how can you say that he didn't really need to take this rematch when he picked the guy the first time and the guy beats him in the second round with a submission? He has to take this rematch. Now he has to fight Aldo again as well, I think.
The thing that's kind of funny is like the first fight was the first fight that Conor was actually like legitimately favored in the UFC up until this point. Like, so he lost that fight when he was supposed to win. All the other fights he was supposed to lose. He was an underdog. So it's kind of crazy to think. And yeah, I agree with you. I think we do want to see an Aldo rematch down the line.
Of course, Jose Aldo looking spectacular, taking apart Frank Yeager, the former lightweight champion a fortnight ago, just looking spectacular with a capital S. Now, Rumble Johnson and Glover Teixeira. Of course, Glover Teixeira is a guy that I know intimately because he beat up my buddy Kyle Kingsbury. What happened in that fight?
Well, Anthony Johnson pulled a Conor McGregor on him and ended the night in 13 seconds with a punch. So,
really?
Yeah, Anthony Johnson. I mean, I thought Anthony Johnson would win this fight. I thought he could win by knockout, but I'd be lying if I told you that I predicted a 13-second knockout.
Okay, so what do we take away from tonight's UFC card other than the fact that Conor McGregor's got a good heart and then Nate Diaz probably isn't the most talented fighter in the entire world?
Yeah, and we knew that going in. I mean, I think it redeems Conor McGregor, and he's going to be a huge star, and he probably made a lot of new enemies along the way that are going to tune in to see his pay-per-views.
Okay. Speaking of pay-per-views, this was a pay-per-view-worthy contest. Of course, the UFC has not paid their combatants nearly the amount of money that pro boxers make, and we've talked about that in the past, of course. Brock Lesnar got $2.5 million for a fight a few weeks ago in which he tested positive for a performance-enhancing drug. And then before that, Conor McGregor got $1 million, I think, in the loss to Nate Diaz the first time around. But before that, nobody got $1 million. You're trying to tell me in all those years nobody got $1 million, man. The UFC seems to be setting themselves up for a big loss money-wise. I think they're getting out of it right at the right time here.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think they're definitely trying to get out because they know they're going to have to pay these guys. And Conor McGregor, I mean, it took a while to get this Diaz rematch done because he wanted more money, and rightfully so. As much as he's making, he's really generating a lot of money for the UFC. He probably should be making $20 million a fight.
He should probably, listen, those guys should probably be making a whole lot more than that. You figure it out this way, folks. Let me split this UFC pie down to you. The pie is worth $100. It's a $100 pie. Out of that $100 pie, 12 to 15% goes to the fighters. The other 85% or 88%, depending on the 12 or the 15%, goes to the UFC. Does that sound right to you? Listen, I've said it before, but I know pimps that will be proud of having contracts like that, Zach.
Yeah, it's wild, you know. It's crazy to think about. And the way I look at it is like, okay, the first Diaz and McGregor fight was like the top-selling UFC pay-per-view of all time, right? Mm-hmm. And what does Floyd Mayweather get for a pay-per-view card? Like, what would you
80,
say?
80, 90 million bucks.
He's getting a lot of money, right? So Conor McGregor is the first $1 million payday, and he's selling like 1.5 million pay-per-view, which is about the number that a Floyd fight does.
Okay, let's talk about the Olympics. What does Shakur Stevenson bring to the dance?
Well, Shakur Stevenson, he lost today to a Cuban boxer in the final. So
no shame in that, man. You're losing to the best.
No, I mean, the Cubans have the most medals in the boxing side of the Olympics right now. They got 6 gold medals, so I mean, it's impressive. I mean, that's dominance, and they have the second most medals of all times behind the U.S.
Okay, now Dominic, I'll bring you in on this. We talked about this before about pros playing basketball, of course, going down to the NBA guys, going down to the Olympics playing basketball. Essentially, the Cubans have professionals boxing because they've been supporting them as amateur boxers until they're mid-30s. So where's the median here, Dominic?
I you know, it's weird because, you know, if you look at it sport by sport, it is such a difference. Some sports really adhere to that, you know, amateur competition, while other ones, like basketball, I think is the biggest example, load up on the stars, not just the U.S., all these other ones. I think there's got to be some kind of balance. I don't think you'll be able to do it uniformly where it's either all pros or all amateurs universally throughout. But I think one thing that you might start to see is each sports Olympic committee. So maybe, example, we're talking about boxing. So maybe boxing will start to look and maybe go, okay, maybe we wanted to go back to that amateur thing. I think it's going to have to be a sport-by-sport case when it comes to the Olympic as to who they allow to compete. And I think that's the only way you're really going to see a difference anytime soon.
Okay, Zach, take the wheel. Shakur Stevenson was a silver medalist. What else happened in the Olympics for the U.S.?
You know, we had the flyweight and Vargas. He did pretty well. He ended up getting a bronze medal. So, I mean, the U.S. right now only has a silver and a bronze. That's the two medals they got so far. But
isn't
we got
that pretty sad? Isn't that sad? We talk about a country that produced Muhammad Ali and Cassius Clay in 1960, a light heavyweight. I mean, the 1976 Olympic team, I'll go through it. Leon and Michael Spinks. Leo Randolph, he won a world title. I mean, I can go Howard Davis, Sugar Ray Leonard. I can keep going, man. The bottom line is 84 had a great team as well. 88, not so great, but a pretty decent team. Of course, Roy Jones topping that team. Oscar De La Hoya in 92, then we go to 96, and the guy gets lucky. The guy from, I can't think of his name right now, David Reed gets lucky and scores a one-punch knockout over some Cuban he wasn't supposed to do with his eye was shutting. And then we come back, of course, to Andre Ward in 2004. The United States is doing horrible in the Olympics, Zach, boxing-wise.
I'll tell you something that's even sadder. This is more medals than they won last time already. They had 0 medals in 2012 in boxing on the men's side.
Dominic, you've seen Westboro Boulevard in South San Francisco, which I tell you that was the Hill of Champions. We ran up and, of course, had to sprint a mile across the Skyline Boulevard and then jump rope for 20 minutes. Can you see now why I can't get guys to do what I did?
Yeah, I get it. There's a certain level of dedication there and, you know, the kind of generational work ethic has really changed. And you know, as a middle school student, I went to Westboro Middle School. I used to run up that hill every Friday as part of the mile that we had to run. So I know exactly what you went through, obviously on a much less intense scale. There was no jump roping or additional mile long.
No,
run
no, no.
Afterwards.
You didn't have your mother honking those chain smoking in the car, honking, going, come on, you're dogging it. Mom, come on.
That's fair, but I did have a PE teacher with a whistle and a bad attitude, so I guess that's pretty I guess that's the next best thing.
Let's be honest. So Westboro will break the average man, won't it?
Oh, absolutely. Looking back at it as middle school students, I don't know how more people didn't just absolutely revolt or just refuse to run the mile, because we would run down, you know, a few blocks down to the park and come back up to the school. So that's a good half mile uphill for middle school students. We're talking 12, 13. But yeah, you know, like I said, that generational work ethic is really not it's a big gap right now. And it takes a dedicated person to really put in the work. And that's one thing that is fun about the Olympics, is seeing, you know, somebody who's spent the last 4 years minimum working their butts off and hopefully getting rewarded on a global scale. I think that's one of the cool things of the Olympics, is seeing hard work pay off.
Zach, what about we had a female that was doing pretty good there in the Olympics.
Clarissa Shields. She's going to compete for her second gold medal tomorrow.
Second gold, huh? So she's got... Now, could she actually, like, turn pro and be a decent professional? She got some skills?
Yeah, she's a good boxer. I mean, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, female boxing isn't even where female MMA is, but it could always rise up again, you know, like it was in the 90s. It was a little bigger in the 90s, I'd say. So
it'll
be interesting to see. But she's a good fighter, and I mean, you don't win two golds by accident.
No question. Zach, why is it your generation of millennials, why can't I get them to train hard? How come every time some young kid comes to me and says, you know what, I want to win the Golden Gloves like you did. I want to win the Golden Gloves like you did. And then I take them to the hill and they're done after one day. What's up?
You know, I really can't say. I think there's too many distractions. If I had to guess, there's just too many distractions these days. There's too much going on online and with all types of other entertainment. I think it's just hard for people to get out there and exercise as much.
71 years ago this week, the Japanese surrendered, ended the last Great War, of course, World War II as we know it. And on many occasions over the decades, and as recently as 2 years ago, I was able to meet and then introduce many World War II veterans, of course, at different boxing events, things like that, as a ring announcer. There aren't too many left, but without them and their effort, we probably would not be speaking English. All right, one question for both of you guys. I tell you what, this question is for Dominic. Dominic, what's the difference between an enzyme and a hormone?
An enzyme breaks down proteins, hormones, more genetic stuff. I love to see where you're going with this, though.
You can't hear an enzyme. Oh, did that go right over your head there, Dominic?
I got it.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
at the time, it totally did.
Oh, I couldn't believe the difference between an enzyme. You can't hear an enzyme. Okay. Bottom line is, you're tuned to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. This is your Combat Sports Update, brought to you by the World Boxing Organization. Of course, you can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOBoxing.com. This is the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. I am the man, Johnny Taco and his All-Stars.